Well, welcome, friends, to another episode of Good Morning Live. I pray that you are having just that, a very good morning. I trust and believe that God's doing something good in your world and in your life. I trust and believe he's doing something significant with you. And if it hasn't been the best day, well, come on, get your faith up, turn that situation around and start believing God that it's going to be a good day, because God can turn any situation around. So how was your day? If you're chatting in, if you're watching on one of the platforms that you can like and chat and tell me how your morning's been going so far. Sarah and I got to go out last night and go to a Wynonna Judd, a greatest hits concert. And if you don't know that about me, I'm a country music fan. Love my country music, and particularly 80s and 90s country music. And I drug Sarah along into becoming a country music fan. Like when we first started dating, it's kind of funny. When you're dating, you're sending each other like songs that you're like, oh, this is us or whatever. And so I sent her a song, and it was a country song. And she heard the first few notes of it and that it was country music, and text back, nope, sorry. Now, here we are 10 years later, almost 11 now in marriage. And if we don't have prime country on in the van or the car, she gets upset. So, and now, you know, we've been to the Dixie Chicks a few times, concerts and the Judge tour, and now the Wynonna tour. And so we had a good time last night. So, little inside intel on us. We are country music fans. I know there are some people out there going, no, but hey, we love it. So anyway, but we had an amazing night. It was a good night. And looking forward to another good day. Hey, Lindsay, good to see you. Denise, Danielle, good to see you. Jackson, good to see you this morning. And to all of our viewers watching behind the scenes on TikTok, to all of our viewers watching on Pioneer Television Network, welcome to Good Morning Live. So I want to do something a little bit different this morning, and I want to throw us into a song of worship, and then I'm going to come back and bring today's teaching. And I don't always do this on the live, but every once in a while, a song hits my heart or my spirit that I can't get out of my head. So yesterday, I was watching the service from World Harvest Church in Columbus, Ohio, through Pastor Rod Parsley, who's our part of our church covering. And whenever I can, I try to watch their programs. And they went into this little chorus that was an old school chorus that we used to sing back in the day. And I could not get it out of my heart and my spirit. And it's what I want to talk about today, on what I think, how God calls us to really live. And I thought, you know what, let's just go ahead and go into the song today, and hopefully it'll bless those listening and watching. And I'll be right back on the other side of that to bring the word of God. So enjoy this time of worship, and I'll see you in just a minute.
And I'll say thank you, Lord. See, I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord. Woo. I just want to thank you, Lord. And all the people of God say, thank you, Lord. Thank you.
I just want to thank you.
God, if you're thankful that the indescribable, uncontainable God listens, what are men that thou art mindful of him? What a mighty God, what an amazing God. He is sovereign, he is holy, he sits high on the throne. Scripture says the earth is his footstool. It is that God we worship. It is that God we lift our hands to. It is that God we adore.
Well, thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. I hope you enjoyed that. If you were hopping on in the middle of that song, you're probably wondering what's going on. But I told you, every once in a while, I hear a song that just, I don't know, pops into my spirit like that. And that was from World Harvest Church in Columbus, Ohio, this past weekend. And when I heard it yesterday, I go back and watch their services whenever I can. When I heard it yesterday, man, I've not been able to get it out of my heart and my spirit. And so hopefully that blessed you today. Lord, we want to thank you. And that is what I want to talk to you a little bit about today, is living in that place of gratitude. And I know that sounds so simple and so elementary, like, Pastor, are you for real going to talk to us about gratitude? Like, yeah, I am, because it is one of the most overlooked keys to breakthrough in our lives. One of the most overlooked keys. If we're not actively participating in it, then we are missing out. Here's what I have found in 21 years of pastoring now, is most people are on some type of search or journey to try to figure out and discover what is God's will for my life. And I think I've always thought it's so interesting, because I don't know, I felt like the church and pastors have used the will of God and revival and some of those like key hyper phrases, if you will, as a ploy to get people coming back. Like, oh, we're going into revival. I hope to see it here next week. Well, you know, are you though for real? Like, we keep like the words destiny and purpose and all of that stuff kind of dangled out in front of people of, you know, come next week, discover your purpose and your destiny. And here's what I have found about purpose and destiny and the will of God, is it's not something that you find. It's something that you wake up in every day. Like, I believe that right now, you and I are in the exact will of God for our lives in this moment. I believe there's one way to be outside of the will of God, and that's if God directly spoke something to you to say or to do, and you acknowledged it and said no. All right? And if that hasn't happened, then I believe that in this moment, you are where you are supposed to be, right? Like, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, living where you're supposed to be. Like, you are in the will of God. And so obviously, you know, there are things that come at us, there are attacks, there's all of those things, but it's like, how do I live in the will of God instead of always being on the search for, oh, let me find the will, let me find the will. Well, let me read you 1 Thessalonians 5:18, because I think it'll help us find the will of God for our lives, right? Give thanks in all circumstances. Listen, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So let me just say that again. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So whatever's happening in your world, whatever's happening in your life, whatever is going on around you, whatever the battle or circumstance is, whatever trial that you have faced, whatever any of that looks like, this is the will of God for you, that you would give thanks in all circumstances. So, Pastor, I don't know what to do in this season of life. Give thanks. Pastor, the enemy's coming at me seven ways, and it just feels like I can't take any more. Give thanks. Pastor, I need financial breakthrough and turnaround. I don't know how I'm going to make it next week. Give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God. Again, I don't believe that the will of God is something that we wander through life aimlessly hoping to stumble upon. 1 Thessalonians says, listen, in all circumstances, do you want to know what the will of God is? Give thanks. When you're on the mountaintop and things are going well in your life and it's like favor on every side, give thanks. When you've been struggling and it seems like attacks on every side, give thanks. When you're healed, give thanks. When you've got a bad report, give thanks, right? One of the most powerful forces in the life of a believer is having a heart or a spirit of gratitude. It's not just like a polite response. It's a posture of the heart that changes how we see everything. It changes our perspective. And listen, I think that's where we get hung up so much. Is it's not that God wants to change our situations always. It's that he wants to change our perspective on how we see our situations. Like, I don't like heights, right? So last night I told you we went to that Winona Judd concert and we were up on the balcony and it's not even a terribly high balcony, but I don't like heights at all, like at all, right? So as soon as we get to our seat, for a second, it was a little bit like, okay, all right, am I okay here? Are we okay? You know, you kind of have that mental processing going through. And, but Sarah and I later on talked about how much we just loved the seats there because what we could see was just incredible. You could see her great. You could see the audience great. The lighting was great. Like the elevated seats caused me to see from a different perspective than I've ever seen before. It reminded me of the scripture that we're seated in heavenly places with him, right? And so sometimes when we're going through life and we're under attack or there's just not even under attack, but just life happening, family and kids and chaos and finances and all the stuff that happens, right? When we are living kind of in that low place of life, just kind of just focused on all of that. All we can see is what's directly in front of us, the problem, the trial, the temptation, the burden, the broken relationship, whatever it is. But when we begin to think upon how Christ calls us to think, and we begin to realize that we're seated in heavenly places with him, we're in an elevated place with Christ, it should change our perspective, right? Where now I don't just see the problem in front of me, I see the harvest on the other side of the problem. Talking to some brothers and sisters on Sunday, and I said, you know, I heard this years ago, that problems reveal the next area of breakthrough in our life. That often when God is wanting to take you into a new season or bring you into a new territory or you know, a new glory or elevate you, whatever it is, it's often revealed through problem, through crisis. Why? Because it's almost like to get us out of where we are, he has to reveal the problem, and in solving the problem opens the door to the better tomorrow. Like, you know, I was hearing somebody there saying, oh man, if you could go back in time, like, what would you go back to? And I said, I don't know, probably to right before they started Amazon and I would start it, or right before Steve Jobs designed the iPhone. But then I thought, well, man, I don't know how to design an iPhone. So I probably wouldn't be very useful going back in time because I'd be like, guys, no, there's this cool phone. I just don't know how to make it, right? But anyway, to go back in time and like, capitalize on some of those things. But I don't remember what I was saying all that for. I don't know. But yet when you have that different perspective, you see things different. And that is what gratitude is designed to do. It's yes, it's powerful to be around a meal and a holiday and have gratitude with other people, right? Yep, great. But gratitude isn't seasonal. It's spiritual. Heaven is filled with praise, with angels crying out, holy, holy, holy. And it's not full of complaints, right? So if we want to bring heaven to earth, we must begin to speak heaven's language. And do you know what heaven's language is? Praise, gratitude, hearts poured out with praise and adoration to God. So when you are in the thick of it, when you are in the middle of it, do you know how you get heaven into your situation? Not by rehearsing the story, not by repeating the problem, not by going around the mountain again. You bring heaven into your situation where you stand in the middle of that and you begin to offer praise and gratitude to God right in the middle. And it brings heaven. It's the language of heaven. It releases it into your situation. But we often ask, well, what is God's will for my life? But here it is in plain language. In every season of life, God's will for you 100% is to give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. What's God's will? Listen, I may not know, you know, what God wants for me tomorrow. I may not know what God wants for me 2 weeks from now. I may not know how it's all going to come together. But what I do know, see, that's where we got to get better as believers. We got to stop focusing on what God has decided to hide from us. So to speak, like if you're like me, I want to know, well, how's this going to work out? What are the 12 steps I need to do to get there? What's it going to look like when I arrive? If he didn't tell me that, then he doesn't want me to know that right now. But I got to focus on what I do know. And what I do know is that in this moment, it is his will that I give thanks in this moment. And he'll reveal the steps. He'll lay it all out. He'll reveal the process. I don't know. But what I do know is in this moment, it is his will for me to give thanks in all circumstances in my life. When I don't know what to do, and I don't know the direction, and I don't know how it's all going to work out, and I don't know how it's, you know, all going to look for me. What I do know is right now, it's his will that I give thanks. Listen, gratitude is a decision long before it's a reaction. Our flesh wants to respond to life based on our emotions. Anybody else in the room with me today? I don't, my flesh isn't, I'm not trying to get my flesh, like, would you tell me how to respond here? Like, my flesh will dictate to me how to respond quick. Like, come on, I live in a house with 4 kids, we're about to have 5. And sometimes you just got to pause for a second and say, nope, all right, how does God want me to respond to this situation? Like, you know, 3 kids fighting in the living room over a pillow or something, you know, and you're just like at your wit's end and it's like, Jesus, help me. Help me not respond in my flesh right now. Help me not respond in my emotions. Our flesh wants to respond to life based on our emotions, but the Spirit teaches us to respond based on truth. Listen, living a life of gratitude does not mean we are in denial about the hard stuff. What it does mean, it means we are grounded in the truth of who God is despite the hard stuff. And that's what I'm saying. I don't know how it's going to turn around. I don't know what it's going to look like in the future. But what I do know is God's good. What I do know is that he loves me. What I do know is he's never failed me. What I do know is his word is tested, tried, and true for thousands of generations. It's never failed and it never will fail. That's what I do know. So instead of, you know, spinning the hamster wheel about how is this going to work out? How is the healing going to come? Is this the whatever? What I can do is I can say right now in this moment, I'm going to open this book and I'm going to give thanks to God in this season because that's his will for me right now. Listen, often if we are struggling with fear and anxiety, the answer and the cure for that is gratitude. Let me read it to you. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing. Have anxiety about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, psychologists have told me as I have journeyed that struggle as many people have with anxiety and panic, is one of the things you can do is stop. Like if it's coming on, and they say literally like, feel like the table or whatever you're sitting at, whatever you're at in the room, and then verbally like say, camera, light, bone call, because what it's doing is it's stopping the hamster cycle in your head from going around, and it's just making you present in the space that you are. Now, I think this is just science trying to catch up with what God already told us in Philippians 4:6, that when there's anxiety, stop and give thanks for everything. Stop and practice gratitude. Stop and say, you know what, God, I thank you in this moment for the good things that you have done. I thank you in this moment for the way you have provided for me in the past. Father, I thank you in this moment for, whatever, fill in the blank. Just start practicing gratitude. And again, what science is catching up with is that when you begin to do that, it's pulling you out of the hamster wheel that's spinning in your mind, making you present in the moment. And it's reminding your mind, your heart, your spirit, your soul that God is good. He's faithful. He's never failed us. He never will forsake us. It's reminding us, like David said, I've been young and I've been old, but never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. So Paul says we should pray with thanksgiving even before the answer comes. Why? It's an act of trust. Thanksgiving in prayer shifts our focus from our problem to God's power. It's no longer sitting back and saying, but God, you don't understand how big the mountain is. But God, you don't understand how big the debt is. But God, the report from the doctor is overwhelming. God, it's crisis time. But God, you don't understand. I don't know what I'm going to do. And it's shifting that. And it's reminding us that, God, I know this is a big problem, but I know you are bigger. God, you created the universe. You hold the whole universe in the palm of your hands. This is nothing for you. A cell and DNA is nothing for you. You stood on nothing and spoke all of this into existence. You have taken care of me from my mother's womb. You are with me. You are for me. You are right beside me. And I praise you and I give thanks. And actually, the Bible says that when we pray, we make our request known to God. But it says that we aren't to continually petition him for the same thing. Like, God, hey, did you remember that, I did ask you for this. I'm going to ask you for it again. God actually says that's not what you're supposed to do. Why? Because that shows a lack of faith. Like, well, then obviously God didn't hear me and he's not responding. So I got to petition him and ask him again. No, the Bible says that when you pray, believe that you have received it and you will have it. Believe that you received. So if I've prayed it and I believe that I've received it, what do? I act like a receiving person. I act like somebody who's received the promise. So what does that look like? Well, if I promised you $1 million and then suddenly walked up to you and gave you the $1 million, like you don't got to, well, I wonder, I don't have to be like, is he going to do it? Is it going to happen? It's in your hand. How would you respond? Right? So after you prayed, if you believe you received it, you move into that thanksgiving portion. You move into every day, Father, I thank you that you've heard that prayer. I thank you, you have answered it. I thank you that the healing is coming. I thank you that the job opportunity is going to be open. I thank you that finances are turning around. Now I don't have to continue to petition God. I move into the receiving, which if I believe I've received it by faith, then I'm moving into a place of thanksgiving. So now, because I've prayed, because I know he's heard, because I know he's answered, now I begin to thank God for his provision. I thank God. I don't walk through my house with my hands up in fear, wondering how the mountain is going to move, wondering if I'm going to get the job opportunity, wondering how God is going to provide. Now I walk through my house and I say, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. I thank you that you've heard me. I thank you that you've answered. I thank you that the answer's on its way. I thank you that you've made preparation. I thank you that every bill is paid, every need is met. I thank you that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I thank you that all of my needs are met according to your riches in glory. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. And suddenly what begins to happen is faith is begin to being built. I'm not petitioning. I'm showing God. I have full confidence and faith and trust that you have this. Come on, think of Paul and Silas in Acts 16. They were not only in prison, they were in chains. They were beaten. They were wrongfully accused. But right there, come on, I probably would have given up and walked out on God right there. In prison, in chains, beaten, wrongfully accused. God, you're letting this happen to me. How could you? I have followed you. I've given my life for you. I don't understand why you would forsake me. Like, that would be most likely my language, right? But no, not Paul and Silas. In the middle of that, they knew what the will of God was. What's the will of God when you are in prison, when you're in chains, when you're beaten, and when you're wrongfully accused? God, what do I do from here? How do I respond to this situation? What's the answer? At midnight, they prayed and sang praises. You know what that means? They gave gratitude. And suddenly, the chains fell off. Gratitude will do what grumbling will never do. Come on. Gratitude will do what grumbling will never do. Come on, Tanisha just said, I used to have my kids repeat back to me, what do we worry about? And they would say, nothing. What do we pray about? Everything. Come on, she said, it's been a tool of raising her kids. Come on, that is so, so good, Tanisha. And come on, when we see this, when we teach our kids this, they watch. They watch what we say. They watch how we respond to crisis. They watch the words that we say. You don't think your kids are watching. They are watching. Trust me, I know. What's the will of God for where you are right now? Again, you might want me to respond with 12 steps to get out of your situation. I can't give you that, but I can tell you what God wants you to do right now. And that's to lift your hands and lift your voice and say, thank you, Lord. I give praise to you, Lord. I give gratitude back to you. Gratitude invites God's presence into our lives. Listen, God is everywhere, yes, but there's something different between him being everywhere and that manifested presence, that God shows up and you can feel that tangibility. And what invites him in? The Bible says we enter his courts with thanksgiving, and praise is what opens the gates to the presence of God. Psalms 100 verse 4 says that, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Listen, thanksgiving isn't a result of entering God's presence. It's the way in. I want you to see that, because often we say, well, when I feel God's presence, then I'll give thanks. No, no, no. Thanksgiving, gratitude is the doorway. It's the entrance of how we get into the presence of God. You can't access his presence, or you can access his presence right now. No worship team is needed. No goosebumps required. Just a grateful heart. Come on. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God, to which also you are called in one body, rule in your hearts and be thankful. Peace is connected to gratitude. A thankful heart becomes a peaceful heart. Listen, when we grumble, we forfeit peace. When we praise, peace returns. So where have you been stuck? Where have you just felt like heaven is closed? I can tell you the will of God in that situation is to give thanks. Listen, Psalms 103 says, let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. One of the strategies of the enemy is spiritual amnesia. Come on, if he can cause us to forget what God has done, he can rob you of faith for what he is about to do. I preached this for years, that God never requires more faith from you right now than your past experiences with him. Like, he didn't just have Moses just get up one day and go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. No. What did he first do? He first appeared to Moses in a bush that would not burn and gave a voice speaking from the bush, telling him to take off the shoes from where he's standing because it's holy ground. Why did God have to do that? I don't think God had to do it, but I think the reason that he did is he wanted to give Moses some basis of faith level, right? So that when he's standing in front of Pharaoh and Pharaoh says no, and he's questioning, did God really send me? Am I out of my mind? He can point back to to the past experiences that he had with God and say, no, I remember the burning bush. I remember the voice. And because I remember it, I know he sent me and I know he's with me now. But if God can, or if Satan can cause us to forget where we have been, what we have heard, then we will not move forward in confidence. If he can cause you to forget how he showed up in the midnight hour, the check that showed up in the mail, the miracle healing that you received, the, you know, how he brought you through, how he kept you in peace through every other trial, if he can cause you to forget that, then you will approach this next attack with fear, with anxiety, with being timid about stepping out in faith, because will he? Will God? Like, why did God have to bring the plagues down when the Israelites were leaving Egypt? It wasn't for the Egyptians. I believe that it was for the Israelites. They hadn't heard from God in 400 years, and now he's getting ready to bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey. And I believe he brought the plagues down to build the faith and the confidence of the Israelite people. But what happened? They got into the wilderness. They got spiritual amnesia. And as soon as it got hard, they forgot about the plagues. They forgot about the parting of the Red Sea. And suddenly they're like, did God bring us out here to die? Did he bring us out here to die? He's been making bread rain down from the sky every morning. Water literally came out of a rock to you. And you're asking, did God bring me out here to die? And I know that sounds crazy to us, but we do it every day in our lives. We are right now in a job that we prayed and believed God to open a door for. And now that we're in it and stuff is getting hard and we're like, God, did you bring me out here to die? Did you forsake me? Stop for a second, turn around and look at every open door he opened for us. Look at every miracle he brought us through. Look at every time we didn't have a dollar to change, right? You know, and somehow we are still standing. He made a way. He healed our bodies. He kept us through the night when we were filled with fear and anxiety and worry. He provided manna, his supernatural manna to us. Like he's been so faithful. And if we stop and just turn around and see where he brought us from, come on, it will unlock gratitude in our hearts. And it will cause us to have faith to now look forward and say, the same God. Come on, that's what David did when he approached Goliath. He said, the same God who helped me get the lion and the bear is the same God who will help me bring this Goliath down. When David was on the run for his life from Saul and he had no sword, he ran back into the house of God where he had given the sword of Goliath. And the priest said, we have no sword here except for the sword of Goliath. And David said, give it to me. Why? Because it was a reminder that the same God who caused him to get the lion and the bear is the same God who caused him to cut the head off of Goliath and is the same God who will keep him now, even in this next battle. Come on. You've had your lion. You've had your bears. You've brought down some Goliaths in your day. And do you really think that God would bring you this far to let this report, to let this circumstance, to let this terrible boss, to let this anxiety, to let this fear stop you now? Absolutely not. The same God who brought you this far is the same God who's going to bring you to completion. The same God who's going to lead you into victory in every area of your life. So what do you got to do? You got to just say, Father, I thank you for what you've done. I will not forget the good things. I will not forget how you brought me through. I will not forget that I'm still standing. Gratitude is memory at work. It builds an altar in your spirit that says God was faithful then and he will be faithful now. Come on. Multiplication happens with gratitude. When Jesus, before feeding the 5,000, you remember he had the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. It says before the multiplication happened, he lifted up the bread and the fish and gave thanks to his God. And a miracle happened. Miracles begin with gratitude. It begins with gratitude. How do we cultivate gratitude every single day in our life? Well, we don't just pray. After we pray, we move into thanksgiving. We move into thanksgiving. If you've prayed about it, you don't got to pray about it again. Like there's that parable that Jesus talks about the unjust judge and the widow that came before him, pleading her case day and night, trying to weary the judge. And we know that this is a study in contrast because it says the unjust judge. God is not an unjust judge, right? So we know it's a study in contrast. And this judge bent his will because this woman kept petitioning him. Well, if it's a study in contrast, well, then the contrast would be is that we shouldn't continue just to petition. No, if we believe we received, we move into thanksgiving. Father, my body is healed. My soul is healed. Fear is gone. Anxiety is gone. Why? Because I've already asked and I believe I've received it by faith. I don't just pray for something. After I pray, I move into thanksgiving. And now on my prayer list, if you got a, like me and you make a prayer list like I do every day, I can cross that out and right beside it, thanksgiving. I can move right into thanksgiving and just start saying, Father, I remember I prayed for that. Like Daniel, I believe you heard. I believe you responded the moment that I prayed. I believe the answer is coming. So all that I have to do right now is thank you for it. Thank you. Why? Because thanksgiving is going to keep me in faith. It's going to keep helping whatever in the supernatural realm needs to make it move forward, right? Gratitude flips your mindset from scarcity to abundance. So start every day practicing gratitude. If you are in a situation and you're like, God, I don't know what to do. Maybe, you know, maybe there's layoffs coming in the company. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to move forward. Maybe relationally, there's something that's broken and you're like, I don't know how to fix this. I can't tell you everything that you are to do, but I can tell you what God's absolute will is for you right now is to pause and begin to give him thanks. Watch what it does. Watch what it does. You know, the thing about gratitude is it doesn't profit much to feel gratitude. Gratitude only works when you speak it out, right? Like I can feel gratitude towards my spouse or towards my children, but it doesn't really do anything if I just feel it, right? Gratitude works when we speak it out, when we actually say, hey, I just want to tell you, I really appreciate what you did for me. And I just want to say thank you. Like, I understand that maybe you got up from the dinner table and you felt thankful for the meal, but I don't know that unless you tell me that. Come on, somebody, right? Gratitude only works when it's expressed, not when it's just felt, right? So we can say, well, God knows my heart. Well, of course he does. But look at the leprous men that were healed, right? And Jesus, they all went, but one turned around and said, you know what? I'm sure they were all grateful. I'm sure they were all happy and excited, but only one turned around and expressed gratitude. Why? Because gratitude only works when it's expressed. Sometimes we just got to say, Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Why Hebrews 13 says, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name. Living in gratitude changes everything. Listen, it doesn't always change your situation right away, but it will change you. If I can't change the situation, then I have to change me or I have to change my perspective. So when I can't change the situation, I'm going to change my perspective and I'm going to change me. There will be some things that will hit your life that there's absolutely nothing in the natural that you can do about. God can, and he will. But sitting right where you are today, there's nothing you can do about it. So what does God want you to do? In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Don't wait for November, Thanksgiving. Get up. You might have just got laid off. You might don't have 50 cents in your bank account. You might have gotten a bad report for a doctor. Get up right where you are and say, God, I can't make the job call me back. I can't make the person accept my apology. I can't make my body heal. I can't do any of that. But what I can do is I can offer you praise. And watch the fruit of my lips. You will never find my lips not giving him praise. Now, if you believe you have prayed and received it along with thanksgiving, is blessing and cursing, the Bible says, and we're about to get off in just a second, but the Bible says blessing and cursing can't come out of the same mouth. So what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to get in my prayer closet and begin to thank God that the answer's on the way, and thank God that the turnaround is coming, and thank God that the healing is going to manifest, and thank God that the opportunity is going to happen, and then walk out of that prayer closet and start saying, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know. It doesn't look good. The report's not good. Blessing and cursing can't come out of the same mouth, right? When I talk about it, again, I'm not saying one of those people, hey, what's going on in your world? All, you know, oh no, everything's, I'm not saying you don't acknowledge. I might have to say, listen, we got a bad report. Listen, I'm unemployed right now, and money in the natural is tight. But I've already prayed about it, and I know God's at work. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying, well, let's just pretend and don't tell anybody anything's going on. No. We can acknowledge what's happening. We can acknowledge what's going on in the natural. Why? Because it's just a setup for God's glory. But when I tell the story, I am not going to fail to express what I believe God is going to do. Right? Like, I'm not going to just give the enemy praise for his portion. I'm going to tell you what the enemy tried, but I'm also going to tell you on the back end of that, here's what I'm believing God's going to do. The answer is coming. We know healing is coming. We know that a better job is on the horizon. So stand with us, be in agreement with. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we can fall victim into this, well, let's just pretend like everything's okay. Well, that's not helping nobody. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. I can't come into agreement with you if I don't know what's going on in your world. Like, there's, somebody in my life years ago who had some real bad physical stuff going on with them, and they just refused to go to the doctor. And they said, well, I'm trusting God. Well, do you know exactly what's happening? No, they were bleeding, they were in pain, and it was like, but I'm not going, I'm trusting God. Well, they ended up dying from the condition. And it's like, that type of faith didn't help. I always say, go, find out exactly what's happening. Why? Because then you can pinpoint your faith. God, yes, does supernatural, but he also does natural. Like, if you're out of a job, to not tell anybody that you're looking for employment, come on. I always tell people, the Bible says, give and men shall, the Bible says, men shall give back into your bosom. Men shall give. How does God get things to you? Through people. So there could be somebody sitting in the row behind you right at church who's praying, saying, God, I need a good employee. I need somebody who I can trust. I'm willing to pay. And you're sitting up there saying, God, I need a good job. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you're not open, you want somebody to agree with you in prayer, but you're refusing to acknowledge what's happening, right? That doesn't profit anybody. But what I refuse to do is tell where we are without following up with what I believe and expect God to do. So we got to get good at that. It's something we got to practice. Why? Because our natural is just want to let people feel the internal panic sometimes and fear that we have. So we're tell it as bad as we can tell it, because I want them to feel my emotion. No, I want you to feel my faith. I want you to feel and know. I want you to come in agreement with me that this is what I believe God's going to do. I want you to stand with me and know that all is well. It's going to be okay. God's going to turn it around. The same God who helped me take care of the lion and the bear and Goliath is the same God who's going to win victory for me today. What you woke up with, what if you woke up tomorrow with only what you thank God for today? I bet it would change what you're thanking God for today. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that you've given us your word. You've given us the answer. You've given us keys. You've given us the way out. You've shown us how to activate your promises in our life. And Lord, we can't always change natural circumstances, and things are happening in our lives that we do not have the ability to change. And when that happens, we might be left wondering, what's your will? How do we deal with this? How do we get out of this? But your word tells us what your will is in every circumstance, and that's to give you thanks. So Father, today we commit to lift our hands and to lift our voice and continue to give you praise, even when it's hard, even when tears are streaming down our face. Would we always be people who offer you gratitude, even when it hurts, even when we don't see the answer? We commit that to you now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I ask you today, take some time. Do it personally. Do it with your spouse. Do it with your children. Begin to walk around and just thank God. Thank him for what he's already done. Gratitude opens the door to a new season. Listen, what should have been an 11-day journey for the Israelites turned into a 40-year curse. Why? They did not have gratitude. Don't turn an 11-day battle into a 40-year experience. Don't do that. If it's happening, deal with it. Give God praise and get out of it as fast as you can. Don't stay in the valley one day longer than you have to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being on Good Morning Live with me today. I'll see you back on here tomorrow morning as we open up the Word of God together again. Be blessed and have an amazing day in God.